You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Karen Chatton from Gardnerville, Nevada. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio for November 11th, episode 3816. Good morning, Horse World.
When your start time's on Saturday and your finish time's on Sunday, and it doesn't get much better than best conditioned, and completing the challenge is the challenge, you're an endurance rider.
That's right. It is Endurance Day here on Horses in the Morning. And Karen, I have to congratulate you too, because since we talked to you, Horses in the Morning's had its 15th anniversary. And I think you're probably on 13.
I think so. Yeah. Where did all that time go? How did it go by so fast?
13 years of doing
gosh.
This.
Gosh. Yes.
So congratulations on that. But you have had so many adventures and you have a terrific show planned for today. So Karen's going to catch us up on her latest adventures, including her completion of two back-to-back 50-mile rides. And also, we're going to get a tip from you. Actually, it's more of a review. It's your review of your new Garmin Venue, so which I can't wait to hear about because you got to use it in real life. And You also have the AERC, the American Endurance Ride Conference Director, Connie Caudill?
Caudill, yes.
Yep. She's going to share her updates on the AERC National Convention and the 2026 National Championship at Old Dominion. Plus, Katie Curtis is going to join us, and she's the current leading AERC National Best Condition. She's a leader for that, for the championship for 2025, and her horse, Casper, the ghostly horse. I like that. She's going to discuss her successful season and her relationship with Casper. But first, you've been out riding. I've been seeing all these pictures you've been posting.
I have been out riding since last month's show. I have done 350s and a parade. So Joey's been busy. We did the Red Rock Rumble 50. And then the next weekend, because he did really well, he recovered, he looked great, we went down to the Pacific South region in California and did 250s back to back. So he did 100 miles in a weekend. And to make things really kind of cool, Jovi reached his first 1,000 AERC miles of doing 50s.
Wow, yeah, congratulations.
And thank you. And on the second day, he also got his first place.
Wow, yay. That's terrific.
I know. Now, we don't need to really mention, do we, that there were only six riders?
No, we never mention that. That's a rule on the show. We never mention if there's one rider and you win, we don't mention it. It's a rule.
That's it. I know. So, but, you know, even on the first day when there were more riders, because it was an AHA ride, we did still finish in sixth place. So,
well, that's true. You know, this is a horse that you've had a very mixed relationship with. It's like,
you can say that.
Yeah,
yes.
I was trying to be polite.
I mean, like I had kind of posted something saying he has broken my heart and he has healed my heart. You know, we have both, we've got a solid respect for each other now. We've come a long way together and it means just a lot. You know, this is his third, this, you know, 2025 was his third ride season, and I've been riding him, you know, a little longer than that, you know, and I'm starting to let him move out a little bit. And he has realized what he was meant to do in life. He literally was bred to be an endurance horse, and he is now stepping up, and we're getting there. We're still not, you know, he still has his days where he just doesn't see the point in trotting out. for the vet. It's like
I just came in for a break. Why am I trotting?
Exactly. Or even the day before the ride. He's like, oh, what's the point? I could be back at the trailer eating.
Yeah.
I don't get this. So we're still kind of working on that. But, he has come a really long way. And the vets that see him regularly know that and understand that. And I tell him that he thinks he's an airplane. He needs a runway and he needs a good amount of space before he takes off.
And he needs to go faster than I can run.
I know. And then there's some days where he trots out just beautifully and I can't. There's no way I can keep up. I'm like, I'm going as fast as I can.
He's just,
so
you know, he's just messing with you, right?
He is. I know. We have that relationship. So
he does seem to have that relationship where he's different than your other horse in that he likes you, but he's gonna mess with you just like a brother or sister would. You know, it's just like, you have that brother sister relationship.
Oh, exactly.
This is not
exactly
a marriage.
There's a reason why I sold the Hackamore that I had bought for him a couple of years ago. No, he
wasn't gonna let you get away with that.
No.
But you know what? It's these kind of horses that usually end up the champions, and that's true in eventing and racing, and
Isn't it though?
Yep.
Yes.
It's these horses. Yep. And
right,
you're finding
right.
that now. Look, he's stepping up.
I am. Yeah. I am finding that, he and I both, we needed a purpose and we needed our goals to us going and set us on fire. And oh yes.
Not just him, you needed to compromise too.
Exactly.
It's funny how different horses challenge us in different ways, isn't it?
Isn't it though? Because you don't always remember how much work it took on the previous horses, because that was 20, 25 years ago.
Well,
that you started them.
You get the one horse like you had. You get the one horse that it's just kind of a dreamboat the whole way through, right? I mean, they're the exception to the rule, and you have one in your lifetime that's the dreamboat the whole way through. And I had one of a driving horse like that too, so that everything else just looks more challenging. It's just, but we can be grateful we had the one. So.
That's true.
But it's this kind of horse, though, seriously, that will take you places.
You learn, you think, oh, I've been around horses for half a century or whatever it is. And we don't need to admit the actual
it's close.
Number of decades. But yes. So and then, I have learned I really appreciate this horse for everything he has brought into my life, because we have a great relationship. And but
it's different
handed to me,
right?
We
it's
had
a
to
different
earn
relationship
it
than the last one.
It completely yes
and he'll probably never be at the you'll never have that relationship that you had with the last one. This was just going to be a different kind of relationship. Doesn't mean you won't go great places, but you're going to do it in a different way. Hopefully on the trail and not off the cliff. That's all I'm hoping, Karen. He does have that self-preservation urge. So,
yes.
So that's
he's a horse that was younger and wanted to do Tevis again and again and again, which, because I live so close to that ride, I'm 60 miles from the start. So that's why I just kept going and doing it on Beau. He did it 6 times. But I think this horse could flawlessly carry me through that ride.
He would be awesome.
No, in the future. Trust me.
We're going to find out in the future. I didn't say next year. I just said.
I know, and then what's really funny is, if you go back a couple years, I thought this horse was just going to be too lazy. He just didn't have it in him. And then one day, all of a sudden, somebody flipped his switch on.
You thought it was going to be the other horse, actually, that stepped up at that time.
Yeah, one of my other ones, like a Cowboy or Saint Croix. So, yeah, it's... It's been a journey.
Well, how do you do in the parade? That's a whole different ballgame.
Oh, you know, the funny part is they put us in the, they put Jovi in the front because he's confident and bold. When he gets in a parade, he's not afraid of anything. He wants to be in the front. If he had his way, he would pass up every entry and finish first. So
blow by those bands and the floats and the
I know. And then so again, we got put the float in front of us. The entry was pickup, and the kid in the back, he had two bubble making machines.
Why do they do that? Make put the horses bubbles behind the stupidest things.
I know. And so, but see, so all the other horses, they drop back behind Jovi. So I don't have anybody next to me.
You get attacked first.
I'm by myself in the front. And Jovi, of course, he thinks it's fun. Let's pop the bubbles. So we're going down the parade route, and his head is, and his lips are going and trying to pop all the bubbles.
Oh, that must have been hilarious.
I mean, I had a great time. Everybody else was behind me. It was like I was doing the parade by myself because I never saw another horse.
You know how they have motorcycle cops that lead the parade to get it started? They need Jovi to lead the parade to get it started. He'd be in heaven then.
It would be. Yeah. I know. And it was a record turnout. They said between maybe 30 and 50,000 people were there. So, you know, but he doesn't, nothing bothers him. He's, yet if I take him down the street and he sees the neighbor's potbelly pig, he is terrified of the potbelly pig still. I mean, he now goes by it. It's okay. He'll go by it. But he gives it a wide berth because he smells it. He doesn't even need to see it. He smells it. And so, but it's really funny because it's like he can go in the parade. He can see a million and one different things. And none of that bothers him. He can go do endurance rides where we are riding literally parallel to Highway 395, where traffic and semi trucks and RVs are going by at 70 miles an hour, whistling along and making all sorts of sounds, and there's trash and garbage and everything. Not a problem. But one little potbelly pig, well, it's 300 pounds probably, just lying there, not moving. And it's the demon, devil, scariest thing in the world. So
Jennifer's horse, gated horse James, her new one, who's only four, but we have a farm two farms down, and it's at the end, so you go by there to go around the block, right? And she gets there, and it's Green Acres. They have pigs, they have birds, they have cows, they have horses, they have donkeys, they have everything. And he just thinks that's the most terrifying place in the world.
I've got four llamas for neighbors, and we've got ostriches, and I mean, there's like we talked before, there's a hyena that somebody has in the neighborhood. Nevada's one of the few states that allows that. We've got, you know, of course,
that's everybody's dream pet, a hyena.
Oh no.
All right, we're going to get to your review. I want to hear your Garmin review, but first I have to talk to you about Chewy. Heavy new blankets, bulky coolers, tubs of supplements, even prescription items are no problem at Chewy. Every order over $49 ships free. So you can stock up on everything your horse needs for fall without the heavy lifting. We have even ordered hay from Chewy. Order online or in the app and let Chewy deliver right to your barn. Fast, free, and hassle-free so you can spend more time enjoying autumn rides with your horse. Start shopping now at Chewy.com/equine. That's Chewy.com/equine. If you put the /equine in there, they know it's coming from us and it gets us extra brownie points. So we appreciate you do that when you go over to Chewy. All right, you bought yourself a Garmin Venue X1, right?
I did. All right. I did.
We talked about the fact that you bought it, but you hadn't really, really tested it yet. So
no, right. I know. And okay, so first off, one of the things I think I like the best, and by the way, Glenn, it says my heart rate has exceeded 100 beats per minute while I'm talking to you.
Oh, geez. I didn't know I was that nerve-wracking.
What did you do?
I don't know.
So, okay. No, I don't. Yeah. So anyway.
You're so excited to talk about the Garmin. It just
I
went. I know. Sent your heart rate to the roof.
So one of the best coolest things about it is the battery life, because for years I had been using Samsung Galaxy watches, and I've had three or four generations of those. Those were great for what they did, but you do have to charge them like every day.
Yeah, I have one of those and I have to charge it every day.
Yep. Yes, you do. Otherwise, it's not going to really, you know, because the whole point of having a health monitor for me is that it monitors your health. And so in order to do that, it needs to be turned on and charged. So you've got to charge it every day.
You know, I've never been able to use the nighttime thing because I always charge my watch at night. And you can't wear it and charge the same time. So I never get the nighttime stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was the big drawback of some of those other smartwatches. So the Garmin is really kind of cool because under normal use, you know, not following a trail on an endurance ride and having it on for, you know, all day, it will go 6 or 7 days without needing a charge.
Really?
It really literally does. Yes.
Wow.
And if I'm using it on an actual endurance ride, for the 350s that I've used it on so far, it has worked flawlessly. I've had it on up to like 13 hours and not run out of power using it to follow tracks. So a lot of the rides these days, the ride managers will send you out the GPX tracks ahead of the ride. So you go into the Garmin Connect app and add it to your watch, and it uploads it to your watch. So you can now activate those tracks during your endurance event and follow them. And so the nice thing is it will let you know, like, I tested it the day before on a couple of the rides just to test it out. And I would get about 50 feet off trail and it would then alert me. So like if you miss a turn or you get off trail, you know, you can't find a ribbon, there's tracks going both ways and you're not sure, at some point, this will alert me and tell me, and it'll show on the map an arrow, the actual tracks and where I am in relation to that. So I can quickly figure out, oh, I missed a turn right back there.
There's a little message pop up that says, hey, dummy, you're lost.
Well, pretty much. Yeah. So it's wonderful, though, because it's on your wrist. And so I have it set. I just lift up and turn my wrist and it comes on and I can quickly see the map and the tracks and see where I'm supposed to go or where I was supposed to go and get right back on course. So I never go very far off trail. When you were using the same kind of technology with an app on your phone, you had to pull your phone out and make sure it was turned on. And then it was hard to see in certain light. And then, of course, after several hours, you had to worry about the battery. So this kind of eliminates all of that. So I really like this. It's not as thick and heavy as the Galaxy that I had, although the screen is larger and it's very clear, easy to see. It's super bright. It also does all of the health stuff. Like now I've had it for several weeks. It tells me my average resting pulse is at 58, which I guess is really good for a senior person my age.
That's terrific.
That's good.
That's great.
It is. And so it also tells me my sleep score, which is not very good for the most part, because I have three old dogs and they're the reason I don't have a good sleep score, because they don't obey the time change. They resist it. So before, when they thought they needed to be fed at 5 or 6, now it's 4. My sleep score isn't good. It also tells me, like, I have a body battery score, a stress level, my heart rate variability, all sorts of stuff that's really good. Tells me about my recovery, especially, you know, after an endurance ride. You know, the best sleep score I've had was the night after I did the parade. So doing a 50-mile endurance ride or two 50-mile endurance rides in a weekend did not earn me the best sleep over doing a parade. So, okay. And then the other thing that I want to mention about this Garmin venue is that it has a built-in white and red flashlight, which is incredibly useful. I had no idea how useful. It's bright enough. I can light, if my horses are standing out in the dark, I can turn it on and it lights them both up.
Wow. For your
very
watch.
Clear. Yeah, from my watch. And then, so if I'm going out, because now it's dark at 5 o'clock. So when I go out to feed in the evening, I just turn it on. I can turn the white light on, or I can also switch over to the red light so that doesn't blind the horses. And, but I can still see to get the hay, open the gate, go to the feeders. And it, so it's really wonderful for that. So that's very useful. I've used so many different Garmins over the years. I've been using Garmins for almost 25 years to follow trails. And this one is definitely the most convenient. And it does so much more because it also is a health monitor that tells me so much about my health, which I find really useful too. It also does the notifications and all that. So if you're driving and you got your hand on the steering wheel, it'll pop up your notifications. So right. You can just
interrupted. Let's get back to the ride. I have a couple questions. So okay. If it's on all day and you're using it, do you get one day out of it? How long do you get out of it then? You know, with constant
right.
Use?
So it's about 13. I would say I would following the actual tracks and stuff all day long, 13 hours easy. So that will get you through a 50, no problem.
Okay. So 100 would be a problem.
So on 100, I would care, because I carry a little portable battery pack. Mm-hmm. So you can plug it in on your hour holds. And I think just plugging it in one time, even for 40 minutes, and you're going to get enough to get you through 100.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, this is great. Does it have the fall off thing where you fall off it, it sounds an alarm and calls the helicopter?
Yes, exactly. Thank you for mentioning that. It does. Now, here's the thing for those of you that ride horses, when you get it, probably any Garmin, I think this would apply to. It does not do the emergency alerts if you have a hard fall, if your activity chosen is horseback riding. And I don't know why that is.
Because they count on you getting bucked off.
Because I guess it maybe happens too often and it triggers it too much. So I have taken regular bicycle riding and I have renamed it to my horse's name.
Okay.
So it's one click of one button, activities, Jovi.
Oh, so you put it in bicycle mode.
And I put it in bicycle mode because if I have a hard fall or I come off, it will do the emergency alert to my husband and it sends the emergency alert and as well as the GPS coordinates with a link to the map of my exact location.
It doesn't automatically do 911, does it?
It can. Those are all settings you can choose. So I did not choose because, like you said, I don't want to be calling 911 when I don't really need it. So, but it also, like, it will detect if you're in a car accident and do the same. Yes. So it's got a lot of really slick features that's really kind of cool. For those that are fortunate enough to have health insurance, Garmin partners with a lot of the major health insurance companies. And they will give you 20% off of their
products. I checked
with
our Florida Blue, and they do. They do the 20% off on Garmin.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yes. So,
and I didn't know about that, so I'm glad you mentioned. Because this is not cheap. This is a $700 item.
I know it's not.
But you know what? If it does, and you're going to have it for a long time, and it does exactly what you want it to do, and it works, which it sounds like. Well, so if out of 10, what would you give it? 1 to 10, 10 being the best.
I would... Probably a 9. I know they do it. They have versions that have longer batteries, but they're thicker and bigger, and I wouldn't be wearing it all the time.
There you go. So you wear this as your normal watch?
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. Yes. And it works really good. Well, so yeah, I've been real happy with it. And anybody that wants to use it as a heart monitor for themselves or for their horse, Kristen at the Distance Depot sells the adapter kits. So if I want to use this as a heart monitor on my horse, I just need to buy that adapter kit with the electrodes, and then I can connect it and then also learn my horse's. I can see that his heart monitor or heart rate is up over 100 when it shouldn't be. And then I can panic and freak out.
Well, that's terrific. I'm glad to hear it worked out so well. When you spend that kind of money, you want it to be you want it to be a 9 out of 10. So
exactly. Exactly.
And Kristen sells them over to Distance Depot, right?
She does sell several different Garmin products. Yep. Definitely.
All right. Uh-huh. Well, we're going to go to her next. So next up is Kristen at the Distance Depot. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you for joining us this morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And we have a fun topic today. We are going to talk about saddle pads, which is something near and dear to every endurance and trail rider's heart, because we love our saddle pads, and you have quite a selection to choose from.
We do. It's probably one of the biggest things we get asked about. Which saddle pad which is the best one for me to use? That's, you know, such an individual thing, but we do have quite a variety. Some of our most popular pads are the Toclat line of saddle pads. We have the Matrix T3 line, which is probably their newest line of woolback and coolback saddle pads. The woolback is Toclat's version of wool, and the coolback is a synthetic material. Both are machine washable, both wear like iron. I just love their regular woolback and coolback pads that they offer. And we do have them in endurance type styles and also in the English dressage type styles. So lots of options to choose there. The T3 line has impact protection inserts that can go in them. They don't have to go in there, but it's probably the most popular option. That Pro Impact insert is made from a Poron XRD, which is perforated, so it's breathable, and the impact protection is basically like no other impact protection in our industry. Really top of the line as far as that goes for you and your horse. And it does make a difference. You can feel it through the saddle, I believe.
I remember being at an equine affair, and they were showing a display where they were like dropping a bowling ball on that Matrix pad, and it just absorbed the shock. It is totally absorbed.
So amazing. And we do have a video, so you can go onto the Pro Impact inserts and watch the video. We have it attached there on that product. And so you can watch the video and see. We don't do it with a bowling ball. We do it with a small ball bearing, but the impact protection is the same. You see it drop. You can hear it on the wood. And then when it comes to these inserts, there's no noise when it hits that, and the dispersion stops completely. It's pretty amazing to see.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We also have a thin line saddle pad page, which we offer that. They also have the impact protection, different type of foam, but still offering some protection there. And the Skeeto saddle pads are quite popular too. And they have an open cell foam insert inside of each one of those pads. So that's not an option. They just come with those options with that impact protection pad inside of it. Most of our pads also open down the front of the saddle pad. This Matrix line does open down the spine, but it leaves an opening channel for between those inserts for that heat to escape. So lots of really nice options here for saddle pads.
And what about the colors? If somebody were to want to have a color to match lovely Biothane Distance Depot tack.
Yes, of course. Yeah, the coolback material. So the woolback is just a creamy beige color. And I know some people are really kind of freaked out about how dirty that's going to get, but they really do stay pretty clean. You can hose them off in between and or throw them in the wash. and they just pop out in that creamy color for years and years. But the coolback is the one that's available in all the colors. And I think we have over half a dozen colors, black, royal, red, purple, forest green. We do have a beige and a white. What am I forgetting? Brown, navy blue, lots of colors.
And the mosquito pads come in colors too.
The mosquito pads, yes, I stock them in black and royal blue. Those are the most popular, but we do have a special order item for each pad. You can do a special order. They typically take about 2 to 3 weeks for a mosquito to make those. So do expect a little bit of a wait on those special order colors. Otherwise, we do stock the black and the royal blue in the mosquito pads.
Okay, and I see you've got Supercore.
We do have Supercore. Yeah, and that's a pretty interesting pad. They're fairly popular. That Supercore material is a kind of a waffle, plasticky feeling. It's not a fleecy pad, but it goes directly on your horse's back. It actually was developed, if I'm not mistaken, for like wheelchair-bound patients and bedridden patients, that material. So it's quite good for impact protection too, and easy hose them off, and they're, you know, good to go. So yeah, they're super nice pads too.
Hey, and how would somebody get in touch with you?
Well, if they have any questions, they can certainly call and we can walk them through all of the many options and choices. Oh, and or they can visit us at www.thedistancedepot.com.
Okay, and what was your phone number again?
Oh, sorry. It's 866-863-2349, and it is on the website. You can find it there.
Hey, thank you so much, Kristen.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Next guest up is Connie Cottle, who is an AERC director and an endurance rider, and she's joining us this morning to talk about the upcoming 2026 AERC National Convention and the National Championship Ride for next year. Our new ride season starts December 1st, so this is great timing. Thank you, Connie, for joining us.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's start with the AERC National Convention. For the first time in AERC's history, it is going to be a virtual convention. So tell us about that.
Okay. Actually, it's the second time we had to have it that way in 2021 during COVID.
Because during COVID, I forgot about that. Yes. You know, my mind just erased that whole.
We all try to forget about it.
Sorry about that. Okay.
But this one, This one's very well planned. It wasn't just thrown together all of a sudden. And one of the reasons is we had a transition in the office, and we just needed to get our feet going again and get this convention on the road, which it's going to be very exciting because we're having speakers from all over that would not normally be able to attend. So we're excited about it. Would you like me to tell you about some of the speakers?
Yes, the speakers, okay. And of course the dates.
Okay, I did not write that down.
I have the dates: February 28th and March 1st, 2026.
Okay, that's good. You had that down. Our speakers are. We asked a survey on our Facebook page, on our AERC Facebook page, on what people would like to see. And so we're using most of that as far as we got speakers on those subjects. And the first one that we had was Jane Manfredi. She's a veterinarian that's also an FEI level dressage rider. And the first talk she's going to give is going to be on saddle fit for distance horses. And we're all interested in that. And it's not going to be any particular saddle. It's just going to be, how does your saddle fit your horse? And then her second talk is going to be on equine muscle injuries and rehab. And most of us have gone through something after, you know, we've had problems with a muscle injury. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to hearing her. The next person is Dr. Ben Sykes. He's going to be speaking from New Zealand. And after each person speaks, by the way, it's going to be question and answer. So everyone that's signed in will be able to ask questions. So this person is kind of the main person. He's in the top 1% of researchers worldwide in 2024 by Stanford University, and it's going to be ulcers. And we're all interested. And so his topic is equine ulcers more than just free choice hay and no carbs? So I think we're all going to be interested in hearing him. And next is going to be Laura Warden, which she speaks a lot on our Facebook page on nutrition. And her speech is going to be on powders, potions, and promises. What supplements really work for endurance horses? So are we wasting our money on some because we get it in grass or what? You know, she's an expert on this and is also an expert on analyzing hay. So that'd be good. And then after that, we have Dr. Lainey Newcomb. She's going to give us a talk on pacing, prepping, and power nap, sculpting the endurance horse, which is going to be like, how do you train to pace? How much rest time do you have? She's into also other sports, riding tie and driving now. So she does a lot of cross training. But what's really going to be fun on this, we have a little 5 to 15 minute sections of different people talking. Maria Muzio, who's a farrier, is going to give a little talk on and show pictures of recognizing a balanced foot. And I am a farrier. I only do my own horses now. And I have realized that a lot of people don't realize when their horse's hoof is totally unbalanced. Not
exactly.
That, you know, yeah. Right. And not that some, you know, because of conformational stuff and they're not perfectly balanced, or when they grow out after 2 or 3 weeks, they get unbalanced. Just when you first get your horse shod, what it should look like. Good. Angie McGee is going to be our next little 5 to 15 minute speaker, and she's going to be entertainment and amusing stories about real endurance riders, and she is pretty hilarious. I think everyone's going to enjoy listening to her. And this next one is near and dear to your heart, Karen, since you've established the Decade Horse Award, and it became an official award in 2012. And you know that this acknowledges the horse and rider team that's completed at least 50 miles or more over a 10-year period. So we have 3 or 4 people lined up that's going to talk about how they achieved that award and what they had to do in order to get it. And one's a husband and wife team that's both gotten the Decade Horses. And one's a very young rider, and one's a past ARC president. So I think, and they'll be like not all at one time. We'll just have those at different points. And I think it's going to be really exciting to hear all this. And then in between, we're going to have raffle tickets being raffled off. So I hope everyone can make this. And this is a convention that's open to everybody. So no matter where you are in the world, you should be able to register for this convention. You can register for 1 day or 2 days, whichever speakers you want to hear. But I'm hoping we get a good turnout for this.
I hope so too. So you don't necessarily need to be an ARC member to attend these seminars online, right?
No, you do not.
So we can attract people from all different disciplines all over the world. They can come and learn from some of these experts on these various topics mm-hmm. and learn. And it's an affordable amount to be able to sign up. They just need to go to, what is it, aerc.org.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not online yet to sign up, but as soon as as soon as we get things ready to register, that's where they'll need to go.
Right. So we need to set up a sign-up page so people can start signing up, and then they can get email notifications that is coming up, and so they can plan and be ready for it.
And all of these topics, I mean, yeah, they're going to be focused towards the endurance rider. But what I have noticed on our AERC Facebook page, a lot of people sign up that I'm a moderator on that. So when they sign up, they're saying the reason they're signing up. And it's not because they're into endurance. It's because endurance riders seem to be on top of a lot of this kind of thing. So this is going to be, I think, very educational for all disciplines, whether you're trail rider or, you know, very experienced FEI rider. I think it's going to be
exactly
good topics.
Exactly. Well, this is sort of a exciting new way to see, you know, and to educate and inform people that might just be, you know, somewhat interested in endurance, or they're interested in just riding their horses out on the trail, because, you know, we can all learn something. There's, you know, like you said, endurance riders, I think overall, I think they are some of the most educated horse people that out there.
I'm going to tell you about one more, and this is going to be good for everybody, and it's going to be a fitness panel of riders, but it's going to be different ages. So it's going to be how they stay fit throughout the different ages. And we have Pao Hall, who has been in this a really long time, Tammy Perdue, and Victoria Mexker, and she's the youngest. So we're going to have different ones tell us how they stay fit, which if you're like me and you're getting older, you want to hear that. How are they staying fit to keep riding?
So exactly. I've been doing that myself. I've been in physical therapy this year, and now I'm able to ride 250s in a row.
And wow, that's great.
So I've made a lot of progress. So I know we have to also work on ourselves just as much as we work on our horses. So let's just real quick, tell us about the 2026 National Championship ride. Is it going to be at Old Dominion?
It's going to be at Old Dominion. It's in June, and it's going to be, they have a 100-mile continuous trail loop, and there is not very many rides like that anymore.
Right.
That you don't come back into camp. And they have 50-mile loop also, so they'll have both the championship rides going, and then they'll have open rides also. So you can go and ride the open 100, or you can go and ride the, and you don't necessarily have to be an AERC member to ride those. You have to qualify for the championship rides. And then it's going to be, they've held it before, and they have a pretty good completion rate. It's a really tough trail, but they have a good completion rate. They have excellent vets for it. We are doing something new that the AERC board voted on this year. And for the championship ride, every rider that completes the 100 in the championship ride will receive 100 bonus points in their regional awards and in the regional points and their overall points. And then the 50 milers will receive 50 points of bonus points. And that will be in overall and regionally. So I think that's going to help them want to complete, not just to go out there and try to, you know, win, because you're going to get a lot more awarded to you to complete.
Okay.
And I think that's a great idea. I mean, a championship should have a bonus to it, right? If you're going to the championship, there should be an incentive other than just the person who comes in first, second, or third.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's definitely something to reward you, you know, with. And we have really nice, for the 100 miler, we have really nice belt buckles from Montana Silversmith. And then we have really nice belt buckles for the 50 miler also.
Oh, good.
And ARC helps support that ride. The ride manager, the ride manager has put this ride on for several years. It's Diane Conley. And they'll have a lot of support people. That it, hey, since all of the vet checks.
Tell us where the ride is located for those that don't know.
It's located about an hour west of Washington, D.C. in the Shenandoah.
That's correct. Yep.
Valley.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful up there. Well, all of Virginia is beautiful, but especially where that is, it's just really pretty.
I've ridden the ride one time. It's very challenging. The year I rode it, there were 99 riders in it. It was a big ride.
Oh, wow.
And so hopefully we'll have a large ride this time. And also during the ride, this might be of interest to other people, the Eastern National Championship ride and tie is going to be held over the 3 days too. So it's 3 days because you're going to have, one day you're going to have the 50, then one day you're going to have just open rides. 25 milers also are going to be there. And it's just an open rides. And then we're going to have one day of the 100 mile. And the 100 mile beat was open and championship. And they're separate rides. Even though they're riding together, they're separate rides.
That sounds fun. Well, Connie, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there. Stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that US Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with US Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
All right, up next is Katie Curtis, who is currently leading in the AERC National Best Condition Championship for 2025 with 10 best conditions on her horse, Casper the Ghostly Horse.
I love that name. You win an extra award just for the name, I think.
Okay, welcome, Katie. So tell us, what first got you hooked on endurance riding, and how did you end up with Casper the Ghostly Horse?
Yes, so I got Casper. Actually, he came out of a kill pen in Texas. So he was bought sight unseen for $800 and delivered to me in North Carolina, and the rest is a little bit of history, but
okay, Katie, hold on a second. You got your horse out of a kill pen, which usually they're in great shape when they come out of a kill pen. And then you went on with this horse to win 10 best condition awards. I got to tell you, that says a lot about you. It really does.
I think it says a lot about him most of the time, but I'll take that. but yeah, so we first got started at endurance. I was actually living on the East Coast, but you know, prior to getting into endurance, I, like a lot of people, had kind of the backstory of doing a lot of different disciplines throughout my younger years, and went from, you know, the standard lessons to eventing. I played a little bit of polo in college, but through all of that, I was always very well known for what was called a Katie ride, which was our classic conditioning rides, the eventers and the polo horses, which we'd just go and trot, you know, 10 miles through the woods. And one day someone told me, you know, this is actually a discipline that you should try. And so when I finally did get a horse a few years later, which was Casper, we went ahead and tried it, and it kind of stuck. So here we are.
So what in this horse, Casper, tuned you into the fact that you thought, oh, he is meant to be an endurance horse? So what did he do, or what traits did he possess that told you that we need to be doing endurance and going down the trail for long distances.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I took him on a lot of the famous Katy rides when I got him. He was about 5 or 6, so you know, just really kind of wanted to develop him well off on trail. And you know, he loves it. Anyone that's ridden with him knows he is very forward and has a fair number of opinions about which direction he would like to go, especially at the start of a ride. And really just, you know, one of those he really likes to be out and about. It's actually where he's probably most relaxed. So we just kind of kept doing it. And I'm fortunate to live here off of some BLM land just down the street. So we've got plenty of opportunities to get out and about. It's where I like being too. So it's our happy place.
Okay. So how many seasons does he have now?
I would have to check, but I think we are actually at about 6 now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So kind of walk us through your career. Like, how did you get him started? And then when was the turning point when you realized he was fit and strong enough to start running up in the front so that you could top 10 and show for your best conditions?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, anyone that's ridden with him knows this horse and I have had some struggles over the years. He is a big personality for sure, and just came, you know, to me with a lot of anxiety and just some issues to work through. So we've spent a lot of time, you know, with him just working on keeping his head together and kind of that mental toughness that we talk a lot about in the sport, and really just focusing on building that and making sure that he's, you know, physically fit to get where he needs to be. But, you know, when we first started, I think I spent, you know, most of my time just kind of gallivanting around. I was living in North Carolina on the coast at the time. So we got to do a lot of really cool stuff, you know, on the beach and going through a lot of sand. We don't really have a lot of hills out there. So I think having a lot of the sand when he was in his early training years definitely helped a lot. He learned how to use himself and get through that. And then those East Coast rides with the humidity, one of his classic moves, he'll dunk his face in a water trough, basically up to his eyes so that he's not spitting water out of his mouth through his pits. So that one's always a popular one. But yeah, I think he really just making sure that he learned how to take care of himself over the first few years of rides. And, you know, it was definitely a journey for sure. You know, he was very terrible at eating when we first started and very terrible at drinking when we first started. And I was just wanting to be in the mix and see what was going on. But he's definitely learned to take care of himself for sure over the last few years. And that's definitely, I think, where we've had the success we've had this year. But, you know, I spent this horse for sure has taught me a lot and made me kind of learn a lot. You know, I spent a lot of time in particular. He used to overreach really, really badly. And I struggled the first few years just keeping any kind of hoof protection on him, which set me off on the road of learning how to trim my own horses and shoe my own horses. So I do all 7 now.
Oh, wow. You have 7.
I do. I do have 7. We've got all the way from our 2-year-old colt all the way up to my 34-year-old retired pillow pony. So plenty of fun to be had around here.
It's safe to say you're pretty much hooked on the sport now.
I think so. Yeah. No, we've got, let's see. So yeah, the other 5, you know, I've got 2 or 3 walkers that we ride as well with my husband, Kevin. And, you know, we just kind of take the day that...
What region are you in now?
We are in Mountain, so we live in Utah. Oh, okay. Just outside Salt Lake.
Okay, so you got access to quite a few rides in every direction.
Oh yeah.
So what do you think have you learned about Casper that's helped you get the edge this year as far as it, I mean, getting 10 best conditions in a single year is phenomenal. So tell us what you've learned from him in order to be able to achieve that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was definitely not the goal when we started out. You know, I kind of wanted to have a 800 plus mile season, and we've definitely achieved that, but all the best conditions have definitely been a cherry on top, for sure.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, with him, I think a lot of it was, just dialing in and really learning him. You know, I've had a couple of really good opportunities this year in PNER to, you know, do the blood test on the electrolytes and just kind of reconfirm some things there. And that's always one that I think is really cool to take advantage of if you're ever in a ride in Pacific Northwest when they have those available. But really like dialing in on electrolytes and slowing down a little bit on trail, actually, which is always a funny one. I think people chuckle when I say that, but you know, he used to have a lot of struggle, you know, eating on trail, right? He was always very anxious to keep going forward, and it'd be really hard to get him to eat, even if you're running through this, you know, pasture of really nice lush green grass. He just wants to go. So, you know, through all our training, we really worked on that, on eating on trail, and I think that's helped a ton. You know, just getting him to a point where he can relax enough to keep his belly full and really keep him going throughout the rest of the ride. And then, you know, for me too, just learning management for me, making sure I'm, you know, balancing. I'm not a small rider. I'm at the top end of middleweight most of the time. And he is not the largest horse, although he always gets called the tall Arab with the crazy blue eye. So really just making sure, you know, working on me as well, making sure I stay balanced, because, you know, you can almost always tell when I'm not. He'll definitely show it. So, you know, I'd say that. And then really the feet, I think, has been the biggest thing too. I think he gets very happy feet. You can tell when he's got a new shoeing and when he's feeling good with his new shoes. So he'll get his happy feet and go gallivant around. But a lot of that, and then, you know, we spend a lot of time on the road, so really just working on his trailering skills. And it was funny, I actually tell people this a lot. I finally got a camera in our trailer at the beginning of this season. My husband Kevin installed it for me, which was wonderful. And You know, I always noticed he was never really eating well in the trailer before. His hay bags would always still be full when we got to camp, and it's been really fun to watch him in the trailer and figure out which way he likes to ride, so I can put the hay bags directly in front of his face. And that actually, I think, has helped a lot.
Well, that's
eating a lot better.
Yeah, that's interesting. So If you were going to give a tip to somebody starting out in their first 25s or 50s, what would be the tip that you would give them?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, what I'd say is keep going. And people probably hear that a lot, but right, I think, you know, my first couple of rides, especially on Casper, were always actually very frustrating. And I think a couple of people will laugh when they hear this, but there was a point a couple of years ago, I actually thought about selling this horse because he was just making me insane.
Sound familiar, at that point, Karen's going through that right now.
I've had one of those too. I can totally relate.
Exactly. Once you crack it, right?
But it's all the much better when they do work out in the end. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, really starting to turn a corner. But, you know, that's what I'd really say is to keep going. And, you know, like I said, this is the horse that really motivates me to keep going in my education and, you know, try and learn new training methods and try different things. So, you know, the biggest thing, I think, when we turned a point with Casper, you know, at the beginning, when I started riding, I was very, you know, everyone kept telling me, oh, make him walk and make him listen to you at, you know, at starts in particular. And we always ended up in these huge fights. I think a lot of people witnessed one or two of those. And I think we really started turning the corner when, you know what, I'm going to try the other way. Just let him go. Let him move his feet. I heard from a couple people, and, you know, that was a big one too, of just, all right, we're going to go and kind of control the chaos. And at that point, I think he, you know, a lot less arguments and a lot happier horse, and has really been able to turn a corner. So
it's funny you say that, because we were talking about that earlier in the show about how the horses that usually are the best horses in eventing or whatever discipline you want to name, even horse racing, are that personality, right? Mm-hmm. They're the ones where you just need to get the hell out of their way, let them, and compromise with them, right? You have to compromise with them, because they're going to do kind of what, you know, they hate to be reined in, quote unquote, pun intended, but they will end up being the best horse you've ever owned, right?
Oh yeah, yep.
It's just exactly. It's just that it's tough to get through that first phase, you know, to
exactly.
Where you both have agreed where the compromise is, you know?
Exactly,
and then
exactly.
Staying alive through that phase, and then you're
just hanging on for dear life.
Exactly. You're out the other end. But it's true, no matter what the discipline, it's those headstrong kind of know-it-all horses that are the ones that once they end up compromising with with you a little bit and, mm-hmm. you know, become controllable, then they're the ones that do the best. So
exactly.
There you go. Yeah, so no, you're going to be winning all kinds of awards with this one.
Wow. Well, Katie, thank you for joining us and congratulations to you and Casper the Ghostly Horse. I just love that name. We wish you well for the rest of the 2025 ride season and for 2026. I hope you have a good year there too.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you, Beth. Hopefully we'll be able to hang on to it.
Well, thank you, Karen, for booking some fun guests today. It's always good to hear about what's going on with AERC and also to talk to somebody who took a horse from the kill pen. And we all know what they look like when they come out of the kill pen. They're not fat and happy. And to take it mm-hmm. to where she got it now, which and through a lot of struggles. Boy, the whole thing sounded like our whole conversation with you and Jovi earlier. Didn't it?
Kind of, yes. Yeah. I know. That's just, it's exciting. It's always fun to talk to riders that I haven't actually met in person mm-hmm. and learn their story. And you know, it's kind of realize
that a lot of you go through the same thing, right? I mean, you're all going through the same thing. It's just you maybe don't talk about it with each other all the time. So,
right.
Kind of good to hear it, you know? It is. I just thought of you the whole time she was talking about the struggles and his personality. Sounds a lot like Jovi. So, I mean, there you go. Get out of their way. Let them do their job, right?
Kind of, yes. Yep.
All right. Well, where can people find you?
Fun. NV Endurance Rider. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And then I do have a blog that I need to keep up with a little better, but there's some content on there at KarenChatton.com.
All right, very good. You can find the links for today's guests and show notes, horsesinthemorning.com, are right there on your player. You can find that as well. And we did start a Horses in the Morning Amazon page for the non-horse items that we've talked about, and people always are asking us, what did you talk about that day? So I put the Garmin in there too, so if you want to find a quick reference to that. But you can also follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And Karen also has her own podcast feed. So if you just want to listen to the endurance episodes, you can just search for Endurance Rider on your podcast player right there and subscribe to Karen's Endurance Rider podcast feed. And then you won't get all the other Horses in the Morning ones. You'll just get the endurance episodes. And it's the easiest way to also go back and listen to all the past ones because they're all in there too. And there's a lot of them. So you can go back and listen to those as
13
well.
Years.
That's right.
13 years.
You know, my most memorable interview still has to be, and I think that everybody will understand why that knows him, is Potato, when you had Potato on. I have to tell you, that's the interview I still remember the most.
Was it one of the most edited?
It was edited. Yeah, maybe that's why I remember, because I did the editing.
It was edited.
But it was also memorable. All right, we'll see everybody. By the way, we'll be back tomorrow. Jamie and I'll be back. And then we have the Reiners, the National Reining Horse Association, on Thursday. And Friday, Jamie and I'll be back with some really bad ads. So we look forward to seeing you the rest of the week.